Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and I'll tell you right now, if you live in North Carolina, you go to the top of the line this hour. Top of the line if you live in North Carolina, and I'll tell you why. We send folks to from a state to the top of the line if we get a note like this that says there's a brand new Catholic radio station in your state. We are among everyone in the EWTN family super excited to welcome another new station. Everyone listening to Catholic 540 AM Divine Mercy Radio, a 24-hour EWTN Catholic radio station broadcasting right now in Raleigh, North Carolina. Their great signal has the potential to reach thousands of souls with the truth of the Catholic faith. So we're very, very grateful. So as I said, if you live in North Carolina, you will go to the top of the line. As a matter of fact, it's so exciting, we'll probably put you to the top if you live in South Carolina. many thanks to Cecilia Flannery and her great team at Divine Mercy Radio for their hard work and prayers to get this new station on the air. Welcome again to Catholic 540 AM Divine Mercy Radio. Tim Staples is our guest this hour. Tim is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization right here at Catholic Answers. World-renowned speaker. As a matter of fact, you were just speaking this weekend, but it wasn't that far. You didn't have to travel that far.
Yeah, it was an amazing conference. In fact, there were four conferences going on at the same time with the same group called the Bi-National Pro-Family, Pro-Life. What's the last word in the thing? Whatever it is. Pro-Life, Pro-Family, whatever the last word is. It's a fantastic organization. They are hitting all of the most important topics. Notice, pro-life, pro-family. And so their focus is dealing with all of the issues from abortion to euthanasia to embryonic stem cell research, cloning, as well as the homosexual question, transgenderism, all. I mean, this group is hitting it, man. And we had, like I said, conferences going on at the same time. I spoke here in San Diego. Trent Horn spoke in El Paso. We also had conferences going on in Juarez and Tijuana. In fact, one of the young ladies in charge of the Tijuana conference drove up on Friday night from Tijuana to have dinner with us on Friday night and then drove back to Tijuana that night to do the conference. I mean, it's an exciting, exciting group. There it is, Congress.
Okay. It's the third Bi-National Pro-Family, Pro-Life Congress.
Congress. I couldn't think of that last word. Check them out. What's their website there?
I'm actually looking at an event website, so this is not their website. Let me see if I can find their website.
Yeah, fantastic organization. I mean, we just rocked the house. Wonderful presentations, hard-hitting, dealing with all of the topics, the most important topics of the day.
You know, people who are not familiar with the current state in Mexico, they need it as much as we need it.
They sure
you
do.
Might think, oh, it's a kind of a content Catholic country.
Not at all. No.
All I got is that I don't have a website, Tim. I just have the name of it.
Gotcha.
Third Bi-National Pro-Family, Pro-Life Congress.
Yeah. Great group, though. Check it out online and rocking the house, brother. In fact, I'll have some word here after the first break on where I'm going to be this weekend.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'm looking for any callers from North Carolina, but the closest we can get to North Carolina at the moment is Florida. So I'm going to go to Carrie in Florida, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130. Carrie in Florida, just south of North Carolina, if you go through Georgia and South Carolina. Your question for Tim.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Carrie.
My question was, in 1 Timothy, it says there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So why do we pray to Our Lady, Mary, to intercede for us?
Yes. Well, we do that precisely because Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. And we know this, Carrie, that Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says this: Christ is the head over the church, which is the fullness of him. Now, catch this, Carrie. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what that says, Carrie, is the church is the body of Christ extended into this world. And so the reason why you and I can mediate graces, we can pray for one another, and actually, Carrie, affect change in each other's lives. I mean, think about that. How in the world can I affect change in your life, Carrie? I'll tell you how. Because I'm in the body of Christ, I'm in Jesus Christ, the one mediator, he calls me to be his hand, his foot, if you will, his eyes, his mouth, right? And to pray for you. So I become a mediator of grace because I am in the body of Christ. Again, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Jesus is the head of the church, right? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. And this is why in 1 Timothy 2, 5, the verse you just mentioned where St. Paul says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, he started that very statement. If you go back to verse 1, he says he urges everyone, he says, to make prayers and thanksgivings and supplications and intercessions for all men, especially those who are in authority. Why? Because God wills the salvation of all. So he says we're all supposed to intercede. Well, guess what? Intercession is a synonym for mediation. In fact, if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, you will see that Jesus Christ is referred to not just as our one mediator, but he's referred to as our one intercessor. He ever liveth to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Well, wait a minute. If he's making intercession, why in the world does Paul tell all of us to intercede? In other words, why would I ask you, Carrie, to intercede for me when I've got Jesus interceding for me? I'm going to bypass Carrie and go right to Jesus. Jesus, could you intercede for me? Well, the reason why we would ask you to pray, Carrie, and it's not as though, you know, it's either or. Oh, no, don't ask Jesus to pray for you. Only Carrie. No, it's a matter of both. We ask Carrie to pray, and I will, Carrie, pray for me, because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to intercede for one another. And there's a beautiful principle here, Carrie. In the Catholic Church, we call it the communion of saints. That is really the underlying principle here. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, for example, verses 12 through 27, St. Paul describes the body of Christ as just that, or the people of God, I should say, as the body of Christ. And he says, for example, in verse 21, can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? Can the head say to the foot, I have no need of thee? And the answer is no. We need each other. Why? Because Jesus has established us as a body. And just as the finger needs the hand, which needs the arm, which needs the shoulder, which needs the body, we all need one another. Not because somehow Jesus isn't powerful enough. He's not powerful enough, so I have to ask Cy to pray. No, it's because he willed to make it this way. Jesus loves to see us intercede for one another and use the gifts that he has given to us. The Blessed Mother is simply the ultimate example of that because she's the greatest Christian ever. She was gifted with something that no other Christian ever has, ever will, ever could be gifted with. And that is she was called to bring the whole Jesus to the whole world. You and I are called to bring Jesus to the people around us. I can bring Jesus to Cy, he can bring Jesus to me. Mary brought the whole Jesus to the whole world, which makes her singular among the other members of the body of Christ. But certainly she can pray for us too. If Cy can pray for me, so can Mary. Does that make sense, Carrie?
It makes perfect sense. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Carrie. Cool. Thanks so much for calling.
Carrie, assistant producer Marie and Nick told me not to mention that we've got some warehouse changes going on, so I can't send out books. But I would send you Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, right now, if I could. So maybe in like 3 weeks, call back, remind me that I would send you the book, and then I'll send it to you then, because I'm not allowed to mention right now that we can't send out books. Okay, will that work for you, Carrie?
That would be great.
Okay, call back in about 3 weeks. I think we'll have that straightened out. And please do not tell Marie or Nick that I mentioned this. Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. And you were going to say where you're going this weekend before I go to the...
Oh, no. I'm going to get that. And after the break, I will fill the folks in. My file is sitting right on my desk in my office.
Okay. So that's good because I'm going to tell them about this. The Catholic Answers has partnered with the Fullness of Truth conferences.
Yes.
So
yes.
I want to mention that. And then you can talk about where you're that you're going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana this weekend.
Yes.
Did you know I know your schedule?
I did not know that.
I know it.
Jen Phelps has been around.
No,
I see.
There was your wife, Valerie. She just put a note. You're going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana this weekend.
Okay.
So, thanks, Valerie.
I'll get the parish, though, honey. Don't worry.
Come see Catholic Answers speakers at the Fullness of Truth conferences being put on in cooperation with Catholic Answers on March 29th and 30th. Join Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard. At the Prince of Peace Catholic Church in San Antonio, Texas. And on May 10th and 11th, join the same trio, Tim Staples, Trent Horn, and Carlo Broussard at Good Shepherd Catholic Community in Colleyville, Texas. You will leave these conferences on fire for your faith. Visit fullnessoftruth.com for more information.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times, 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Wrong with me today. Fullnessoftruth.org, not fullnessoftruth.com. So go to fullnessoftruth.org, and then you can find out the March 29th and 30th event with Tim Staples, Trent Horn, and Carlo Broussard at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in San Antonio. And you can find out all about the May 10th and 11th with Tim, Trent, and Carlo at Good Shepherd Catholic Community in Colleyville, Texas. Again, fullnessoftruth.org, and I don't know what is a matter with me today that I am having trouble getting those things right. Right now, it is open forum here on Catholic Answers Live. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, about Catholic people, about Catholic beliefs, whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest for both hours today, Tim Staples. Tim is Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers and the author of that book I mentioned just moments ago, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. And is it Baton Rouge? Was I correct?
You are correct, as usual, because Cy Kellett is always correct.
Nice.
I am going to be at St. George Catholic Church at 7808 St. George Drive. What a coincidence.
Isn't that interesting?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, if you want more information, folks, we're expecting about 1,000 of my closest friends to be there. And you can reach out to Mark Herman at 225-236-2446. If you want more information, I'm going to be speaking on God is Looking for a Few Good Men and one of my favorites, Catholics and the Culture War. I will guarantee you, folks, this is going to be an awesome conference. I mean, I'm looking at some of the other speakers, including Bishop Michael Duca. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. You got Father Chris Decker. Father Donald Calloway, some of you have heard of, is going to be there. Sister Tracy Dugas, Father Josh Johnson, a whole lot of good folks that are going to be speaking at this conference. So check it out, folks. Once again, St. George Catholic Church, Baton Rouge.
888-318-7884 is the number. Occasionally we take questions from Facebook and YouTube on Facebook. It was Ed that asked this. I don't know if this is a question or a statement, but it says, Tim Staples should debate Jimmy Swaggart.
I would love to. In fact, I will tell you this. Years ago, we reached out to Brother Swaggart and proposed doing exactly that, but he refused. His wife, Frances, graciously got back to us and said—
She did.
And she actually said, well, Mr. Staples and my husband would not have a common frame of reference because my husband uses the Bible and Mr. Staples uses Catholic tradition. That was her response. Now, of course, anybody who's listened to this show more than once—
I've heard you use the Bible.
I use the Bible every once in a while.
A couple of verses in there, I believe you've referred to. Wow, that's something. So you don't use the Bible, huh?
Yeah,
no, well, you know, sometimes you just don't. Yeah. The connection just doesn't get made.
Amen, brother.
But I have a feeling that Jimmy Swaggart made you a Catholic.
That's Yes, he did. In fact, I have a CD set.
What?
You're not going to believe it. It's called Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. In fact, I have a DVD and CD.
Yeah.
The DVD version is 1 hour where I tell basically my story, but my CD version is three CDs. It's 3 hours long. I get to tell not only my story, but my whole family, folks. So check it out. Go to Catholic.com. You can get it. Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. I do recommend the CD version because I tell you how I converted and my three brothers. In fact, one of my brothers who wanted to cast demons out of me when I converted, he became a priest. He is now Father Terry Staples. And then, of course, my mother, my father, who just passed away 3 years ago, had one of the most radical conversions I have ever seen in my life. He went from being a, let's just say, not friendly toward the Catholic Church, to say it euphemistically, to becoming a daily communicant, absolutely in love with our Lord, our Lady, and Holy Mother Church. So, yeah, check it out.
And thanks for the idea, Ed. Sorry that we've tried it and it hasn't worked out. Let's go to Andrew in Fairfax, Virginia, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. Andrew, your question for Tim.
Hi there. I thought I knew a lot about Catholicism until I started listening to you all, so I appreciate your show, and it really helps me to answer the tough question.
Great.
Now I have another tough question. It's kind of long, and it's about three mini questions in it, but I'll talk fast.
Okay.
The question's about the degrees of heaven.
Yes.
Although it's not an official teaching of the Catholic Church, we may know that through mystical revelation through the saints that purgatory has different levels to it. Each level is based on how much sin purification you have to do before getting to heaven, and potentially the souls in the different levels are separated from each other. For example, the closest level to heaven is believed to be known as the threshold. And with hell, hell has possible levels or severities of torment to it that are specific to your most grievous mortal sins that went unrepented on earth. At least we believe this through mystical revelation, again, not necessarily Catholic Church teaching. And then getting on the heaven question, my question pertains to levels, or rather degrees of holiness or reward in heaven. So within those degrees of heaven, does that mean that there are levels in heaven as well, or is every saint in heaven together on the same platform? As an example, is the holiest Saint Padre Pio, who may have gone directly to heaven upon death, distinguished from the average lay saint who just entered heaven today from previously being in the lowest level of purgatory and or being in a long duration of purification? Are they separated or designated in some form from each other in heaven?
All right.
Right. Great questions. Well, Andrew, first of all, what the Catholic Church does teach, consonant, by the way, with St. Paul, I would encourage you to check out 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41, where St. Paul talks about the different levels, if you will, of heaven. Now, we don't believe as Catholics that there are certain levels like the Mormons, or like, you know, you go to this level and that one goes over there and you got nine people in that level and you got 32 people in this level and that. No, actually, each person receives a particular reward and a particular demerit for those who are in hell. So it would be more proper to put it from a Catholic perspective the way St. Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15:41. He says there are different degrees, just as, and he uses the term glory, levels of glory. Just as the sun has one level of glory, the moon has another degree of glory. And then he says, as star differs from star, so it shall be with the resurrection. So just as each star in heaven, and isn't that profound? Because now we know, of course, scientifically how right Paul is.
Uh-huh.
Each star is absolutely unique. You know, even if you have red dwarfs and the different kinds, they are enormously different from each other because they each have a particular amount of helium that's burned or hydrogen that's burning and so forth. So the bottom line is every person in hell is going to receive their reward. I use the term reward because in Scripture it's used both for the reward of heaven and the reward of hell in accordance with their state of being at the point of death, right? So now for those going to heaven, you will, let's pull out St. Thomas Aquinas, and this is, by the way, the teaching of the church. You will be able to comprehend God. And remember, the essence of heaven is the possession of God in the beatific vision. That's the essence of what heaven is. There's all sorts of gifts that flow from that reality, the fact that we will see God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that's an infallible teaching of the church. The beatific vision is the possession of God. That is, we will see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not, you know, it's hard for us to fathom this, and there is a mystery here, Cy, but we will directly and immediately intuit God. No, without the mediation of what Thomas Aquinas calls phantasms, or we won't even have an idea of God. There will be no idea of God in your mind. There will be God, all right? Man. That is a great mystery, because when I even, I'm looking at Cy Kellett, I see the periphery, and I know you're a human being because my intellect abstracts the form of what a human being is, so I know you have an intellect and a will, and you are risible. That means you can laugh. And all sorts of wonderful things about you. Well, with God, there won't be any even ideas like that. In the beatific vision, we will know God, right? In that directly, immediately intuited knowledge. All right. Now, it's from that reality, then, that we will know the entire created order. Why? Because if you know God, if you see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the entire created order, God's entire plan of salvation will be like 2 + 2 = 4 to you. You will know the entire created order. You'll make Einstein look like an idiot, right? But here's
again.
That's right. But here's the key to get at your question, though. Even though, you know, everything I've said is absolutely true, we will all see God. We will not fully comprehend God, because only God can fully comprehend God. So each individual believer will comprehend God in accordance with the gift of grace they had and their merits at the point of death. St. Teresa of Avila described it like the thimble versus the large bucket, right? If someone has prayed and fasted and they increase their ability, Cy and I have talked about this on Focus, you increase your ability or your capacity for God by doing good works, cooperating with God's grace, so that when you die, you've achieved a certain level. Your container, let's say, gets a certain size, if you will. When you go to heaven, that container will be absolutely filled, as full as it can possibly be. But the Blessed Mother over here, her container is so huge, she's got more ability than all the angels and saints combined. And then we have the apostles and great saints and such. And there's people in all different levels, if you will. And so really, from a Catholic perspective, it's not a matter of these folks are in the threshold and these folks are over here. That's not a Catholic understanding. The Catholic understanding is it's in accordance with the gift of God, because remember, God gives some greater gifts than he gives others. That's his prerogative, right? Who art thou that thou repliest against God, right? Why have you made me thus? God gives some more grace than others, and then some merit more than others. So that determines your level, if you will, or I like to say it the way St. Paul does, your degree of glory in heaven. In the same way, the souls who go to hell, they will suffer in accordance with the degree that they rejected God, their mortal sins, number, kind, all of those things come into play so that the devil, for example, will suffer much worse than the person who commits a few mortal sins that he didn't repent of and ends up going to hell. He will not suffer to the degree of the devil because he didn't have such an enormous gift like the devil had. I mean, he was created a spirit being with incredible abilities. So his suffering will be worse than that other fellow. But each will really experience what they deserve at that point of death.
That allows for there to be difference in heaven, but still everybody's 100% happy.
Amen.
Nobody's ever less than 100% happy.
Yeah, and it's not like some are in this room or some are in that room.
No.
We're all together.
Andrew, thanks for that. More right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture's moral center continues to fly apart, and with every form of deviance publicly aired and celebrated, we have no choice but to equip our kids to understand about such issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. Silence can no longer be an option. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Catholic apologist Steve Ray says, 2,000 years ago, a man asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Has there ever been a more important question? In The Drama of Salvation, Jimmy Akin uses scripture and sacred tradition to explain salvation for the scholar and novice alike, distilling down all the perspectives to an understandable, clear-cut conclusion. This book should be in the hands of every person concerned with his eternal destiny. Order your copy of The Drama of Salvation today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the online shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What one-time Lenten practice has become a regular part of your life?
We want to hear about it on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
What's up? Debbie just says back to Catholic Answers Live. Did you hear that? She doesn't say back to Cy. That's my friend, Debbie Giorgiani, that does that. Well, all right. I'll just be hurt for the rest of the day. 888-31-TRUTH. The number, it is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. If you call from North Carolina, you go to the top of the line. Let us go now to Angela in Plano, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Angela, your question?
Yes. I really need Tim's help.
All right.
Well, Tim's sitting right here ready to help.
I will try.
Yay! I help facilitate an apologetics class at our parish. And we just started a new series. It's an older series that's by Ray Grindy and Father Fate, What Catholics Really Believe.
Yes.
And we have probably a handful of non-Catholics there that are kind of in the discernment phase if they're going to like join the church or not, but to start RCIA. And one of them asked me, how do we explain the saint, how you become a saint? And I didn't want to answer without having the full knowledge. So I told him I would look into it. So I looked on y'all's website and saw tons of questions, but I didn't see any that addressed that.
Gotcha.
All right. And I really like to have some kind of handout or something that I can give them to show. And so I need your help on A, explaining and how to find that resource.
Yes, it's a really good question. And Angela, here's the key. There's four steps to the canonization process. When you have someone who dies and lived an extraordinary life, there's evidence of heroic virtue in their life, you can begin a cause. And what you need is a bishop to begin the cause. And it's normally the bishop from the diocese, either where the saint in question, right, died or ministered or was born. And sometimes there's fights over who is going to be
I can't imagine what you're referring to right now.
That's right. But you that's how you get it started. There has to be a bishop involved who will begin the process. And when that happens, that person becomes servant of God. That's the first step toward canonization. And what happens then is there's a cause introduced. There's actually a congregation in Rome that begins to investigate the life of this particular person. And they look for testimonies. And sometimes these processes, there's no set rule as to how many years this can take. I mean, sometimes people are venerable, for example, for 100 years before they move to the next step. And sometimes they just don't get past that step. Or don't get past servant of God. So servant of God is the first step. And if, in fact, an investigation is begun to where the church says, you know what, there is reason to believe this person exhibited heroic virtue in their life, then that moves to the next stage, which is venerable. So you go from servant of God to venerable. There's no miracle required here, just testimony to an extraordinary life, right? Then once you get to the venerable stage, that's when you start doing some heavy-duty investigation to see, is there evidence of sanctity, for example? The body is often exhumed to see whether there are signs of sanctity, for example. Is the body incorrupt, which does happen from time to time? So it's a deeper investigation, and the whoever is in charge of the cause will then begin to promote it. It's usually promoted around the country, perhaps even around the world in the case of very famous saints, because then intercession is made to the saint and there is a need for a miracle. Now, the Pope can, of course, bypass that if he wants to. But generally speaking, there is a need for a miracle. And why do they need a miracle? Because a miracle demonstrates that this saint is in heaven, right? Which is an interesting. You ever notice, people talk about whether saints in purgatory can pray for folks and pray for themselves. It's interesting, isn't it, that a miracle from the church's perspective indicates the person's not in purgatory, but in heaven, which tells you something about the intercession of folks in purgatory.
Yeah, it would seem to
they're not that, at the same level,
right?
Are they?
No, right.
But at any rate, so that miracle is part of and an integral part of that person then being declared blessed. And what blessed means is they can be put on the Roman calendar, they can be prayed to formally in a liturgical setting, they get a feast day, and that sort of thing. Now, the difference between, though, beatification and canonization is an infallible act of the Pope. So what happens before the canonization is once again the investigation takes it to an even higher level, investigating every aspect of this person's life, and another miracle is required as a sign that this particular human being is, in fact, in heaven. And so those are the four steps: servant of God, venerable, to beatified, and then finally canonized. And that is the final definitive act infallibly declared by the church. This saint is in fact in heaven.
Has anybody written anything like? Can you think of any book that's like how to become a saint? Or,
I can't. I mean, not off the top of my head. I'm surprised we don't have something that. You know what I would suggest is going to Jimmy Akin. .org?
JimmyAikin.com, I think. I'll
look
it up.
Think he has both.
Okay.
But yeah, Jim, when in doubt, just go to Jimmy Akin because he's written on everything.
Oh, yeah. So Jimmy, I'm sure Jimmy's got something there.
So what do you got there? Jimmy.org or?
I did .com and it came up. So
there you go. And not only will you learn about saints, you'll also learn about Star Trek. And
time travel.
Time
all kinds of stuff.
Best I can do for you right now, though.
Thanks, Angela. Thanks very much. Open Forum, Catholic Answers Live. Tom in Yukon, Oklahoma. I didn't know there was a Yukon, Oklahoma, listening on iHeartRadio. Tom, your question for Tim.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Before I ask Mr. Staples my question, Cy, could I get you to do me a favor and look up the Blessed Stanley Rother? And after Mr. Staples answered my question, could you maybe talk about that?
I think he's Saint Stanley Rother, though. Is he blessed or saint?
The Blessed Stanley Rother at the moment.
Okay, I'll look it up.
And Mr. Staples, my question to you is... In the Catholic religion, we refer to, you know, the priest, we call them priests, but if I go to my archdiocese directory, they're listed as reverend.
Yes.
Is there a difference in the terminology of a reverend versus priest or minister or pastor?
Right. No, that's just the way formally when they're writing their name, it would not... generally speaking, be Father so-and-so, but it's Reverend. And if they're a Monsignor, it's the most Reverend, I believe. Right, although Monsignor has become illegal now. Pope Francis got rid of that.
Is it illegal? I didn't realize.
Well, those who are already Monsignor can keep the title. It's kind of a grandfather clause, but but he eliminated the title. But anyway, it's generally the way folks... write their names. Now, I'm trying to think of Bishop. Is that the right Reverend? I can't even...
I can never remember all the titles.
I can never remember all that. Yeah.
No.
But these are basically titles that are commonly used. Reverend so-and-so. Now, pastor has a particular meaning as well because a pastor is generally a pastor of a church, but you also have the catechism, like, for example, what is it, in 2051, as I recall, it refers to the pastors of the church. It's actually referring to bishops. Bishops are also pastors, right? So all pastors are bishops, but all bishops are pastors, but not all pastors are bishops,
okay.
Right? Because pastors are generally pastors of parishes, right? And then you have parochial vicars, and, you know, these are... like associate pastors, where generally where there's a school, you have a parochial vicar. So these are all ecclesiastical titles, basically. And you know what? You can go to some websites, and the pastor will not be listed as Reverend Father so-and-so. It may just be Father. But these are just different ecclesiastical titles to address our pastors. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much.
All right. So, what did you want to discuss about Father Rother?
I was just wondering if at this time the Catholic Church is making history by the Blessed Stanley Rother becoming a saint, and I just feel that all Catholics should hear his story. And I just wonder if you could touch on that a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. Because he's your fellow Oklahoman. That's why, right?
Yes. Yes. Correct.
You know what? He was a priest from Oklahoma. He ministered in Guatemala, was eventually martyred. He was killed in Odium Fidei.
And he chose to go back there, didn't he?
And he chose to go back, and he chose to stay when there was danger. And he was beatified here in the United States because now they do the beatifications in the place, right? John Paul, I think, did them in Rome.
Right.
But now they
right.
do them in the local place.
Yes.
And he was beatified at the Cox Arena.
I have to tell you, brother, I heard a testimony back before he was beatified in Wichita, Kansas, at the Midwest Catholic Family Conference that just blew my mind. about, how do you pronounce that last name?
Is it Rother or Rother? You pronounced it Rother.
It's Rother.
Yeah.
Rother.
Okay.
I heard his life story presented, and it blew my mind. The fact that he goes there, he experiences incredible persecution. He leaves. He could stay here if he wanted to.
Yeah, right.
He did not have to go back. He knew if he went back, he was most likely going to die, and he chose to go. I mean, that is greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. That's the story of Father Stanley Rother.
And I don't know how if you feel the way I do about it, Tim, but it's a demonstration that modern people, just like ancient people, people who you know live in places like Oklahoma, where they have highways and internet and all that, they become saints just as much as you know, Saint Agnes, who we mentioned earlier back in ancient Rome.
In fact, it's more difficult today because of all those distractions. I would argue, you know, actually, you know, we think of well, but we have the internet. We have food in our refrigerators. Yeah. We have – what do you mean? Well, the fact is we have a lot of distractions, don't we, that can and do keep people from being able to ascend the heights often. And so when you read stories like this, to me, it's even more glorious in our day and age. You know, we could talk about a lot more particular people that in this day and age are living heroic lives, but he certainly is one of them.
Tom, thanks very, very much, and thanks for drawing our attention to Father Stanley Rother. It's wonderful to be able to mention him. He is beatified now, and you're perfectly welcome. Anybody, especially his fellow Americans, are perfectly free to pray for him to be made a saint.
Amen.
And we recommend that you do that. Because you know what? I mean, maybe I'm not the first person who said it, but be a saint. You know, what else is there?
What else is there?
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
St. Paul says in the scriptures, knowledge puffs up. So I think maybe that's the connection between, unfortunately, a lot of modernity where we've discovered this intricate order to the stuff and yet the rise of atheism among a lot of people. Remember when we were kids, we say, hey, I knew a few things. My mom or dad would say, yeah, that's right. You know a few things, a very few things.
Morning Glory. Talking about everything important to today's Catholic. Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples with us, and it's open forum. If you got a question about the faith, we welcome that question. Let's go to Bill in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross there in Buffalo, New York. Bill, your question for Tim.
Hi, Si. Tim, I've been wanting to ask you this question for a while. It's regarding Colossians 1:24. This is from the Ignatius Study Bible, the text. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Yes. And I'm asking about the is lacking part. I guess the Greek is hosteremata. Mm-hmm. And when I've seen it in other translations, particularly Protestant translations, they'll translate it as behind instead of as lacking.
Yes.
However, when that word is seen in other texts, in other parts of the New Testament, they'll translate it there as lacking, and I'm wondering why is it lacking but not be, you know, behind?
Yes, that's a great point. I really appreciate your question, Bill. And basically, it's because behind is less Catholic, right? unfortunately, you don't keep biases out of a translations often, and that's one example because it does mean lacking, Bill. But the bottom line is, what does it mean? Well, what it means is, now on one level we know that it can't mean that there's something defective in Christ's sacrifice. That would be heresy. And of course, that would contradict lots of passages of scripture, such as Hebrews 10:14, that says Christ has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, or 1 John 2:1-2. Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Both of those texts emphasize the fact that Christ, in fact, that whole the whole 14 verse or 13 verses leading up to Hebrews 10:14 emphasizes over and over how Christ's sacrifice is perfect, whereas the sacrifices of the Old Testament were not. So it has nothing to do on the objective level with the actual sacrifice of Christ. So what is lacking? What's lacking is our application in our lives, our cooperation with God's grace, so that the infinitely efficacious sacrifice of Christ can be effectual in our lives, and not only our lives, but the lives of others. And that's another reason why our Protestant friends don't want to translate that as lacking, because they don't want this Catholic stuff sneaking out on them here. Because here, we can see how Christ's sacrifice would be lacking in our lives if we don't cooperate with it, right? You know, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, St. Paul says, cooperating with God's grace, I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, right? Or Galatians 5:4, you are fallen from grace. I could give you a million of them, but Acts 7:51, St. Stephen says to the Jews that were about to stone him to death, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, right? So many such texts like that indicate that as perfect as Christ's sacrifice is, we can resist that. We can say no to that. And that is what is lacking in our own lives, is we don't fully allow what Christ did to permeate our lives. Well, in the same way, we are also called as members of the body of Christ to communicate his love and his life to one another. We talked about this earlier with another caller. That's what, you know, is at the core of this metaphor St. Paul uses in both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 of a body. We are members of a body of Christ. What happens when one member, the arm, gets wounded? Somebody stabs you in the arm. What does the rest of the body do? They just sit there and go, oh, sorry, dude, you're just going to have to bleed forever. No, the rest of the body sends coagulants and antibodies and all that stuff to affect healing to the wounded member. And so it's in that sense that by our cooperation with grace, not only do we allow God to heal us, but we are empowered also to affect healing in others. And so Paul is saying, I fill up that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, you know, in my body, for his body, which is the church. That's the glory of being a member of the body of Christ. We can affect healing in one another. And if I choose not to do that, guess what? There's something lacking, mm-hmm. isn't there? Because Christ's infinitely efficacious sacrifice will not be communicated in the way God wills it to for the healing of that other person, just as it won't. Now, that doesn't mean God can't heal him in another way. Of course he can. God can do all kinds of stuff because he's God. But that doesn't change the fact that he has called us to be his instruments to communicate his love and life. Does that help at all?
That sounds good. And with Lent coming up, Tim, when I pray my next novena to Divine Mercy, I'm going to remember both of you, and I hope, Tim, that you're in good health, and I ask that you pray for me, too.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Bill,
God bless you.
Thank you very, very much, and indeed we will remember you in our prayers. We all remember one another, but what a beautiful thing to say. Thank you for saying that and for doing that, Bill. Let's go to George in Memphis, Tennessee, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. George, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Tim.
Hi. Hi. First off, we love y'all's show so much. I'm actually listening with my identical twin brother, Lewis. And we love listening to all y'all answer a ton of amazing, beautiful questions that we ever have about the faith.
Thank you.
Our specific question about today was actually, it had to do, so we watched a video of Trent Horn debating Dr. White, I believe it was.
Yes,
right.
And he debated him about the kind of divine election and the idea that once saved, always saved.
Yes.
And he mentioned God's gift of perseverance.
Yes.
And how, like, some people can have, and I guess my question was, how is that different from election, and what is God's gift of perseverance, and
yes,
what all does that entail?
So. Yes. Great question, George. And I think what you're getting at there is the gift of final preservation, right? Or final perseverance. And that's very different from the Calvinist notion in this sense. What that means is the gift of final perseverance that will empower us to finally fulfill what Revelation chapter 2 says, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life, requires a gift that's entirely unmerited, analogous to the gift we receive in baptism. That's entirely unmerited. Because in order to kickstart you into the Christian life, you need a gift that's entirely unmerited. It's beyond your ability, and that is the grace of baptism to kickstart you into a life of grace. Well, at the end of life, you need another gift of grace, entirely unmerited, to kickstart you into eternity, right? But here's the key. It's not a Calvinist notion of, you know, you can't resist it because you can. You can resist any time as long as you are breathing. You can say no to God's grace and reject him. So even the gift of final perseverance. Also, we don't know when precisely, oh, now that guy got it. We don't know. You know, God can give you that gift of grace days before, hours before you die. We simply don't know. But what we do know is you have to cooperate with it, right? And so even though that gift is unmerited, it's your cooperation with it that will, in fact, merit you eternal life. So just as with the gift of baptism, the initial grace is absolutely unmerited, but you must immediately begin to cooperate with that grace, and that's when you begin to merit, okay? And so it's not a Calvinist notion where you don't have free will, monergism, right, where God works and you don't work because you can't work, right? No. God's grace as a principle, just remember this, my brother, grace builds on nature. It never destroys nature. So any theology that tells you that God's grace somehow overrides free will, overpowers free will, that is not Catholic, because you always have a choice when it comes to God's grace this side of the veil.
George, as the handsomer of the two twin brothers, how was that for you?
No. No, that was amazing. That was a beautiful response. That answered perfectly. That's what I was kind of thinking. I read a little bit about it, actually, I think on Catholic Answers last night,
Praise God.
To kind of find out what it was. But that cleared it up a lot. Very interesting. Awesome. Thank you so much.
George. God bless you.
Thank you for your kind words, George. And I will mention this, Tim and I have been having conversations for Catholic Answers Focus about this very topic. And I really think you'll enjoy it, George.
We have
one more to do, right. we got to find out where this is all ending up. I want to know how we're ending up.
That's right.
Because we did a full discussion on preparing for grace and the possibility of preparing for grace.
Yes.
Under the promptings of grace.
Amen.
Prepare to receive grace. And then we talked a bit about works as part of the, how would you, how would,
yeah, we talked about the entrance of the believer into a life of grace,
yeah.
and then what role works play.
But yeah, and then we'll finish that off with the final conversation this week, but you can just go to Catholic.com.
We'll talk about perseverance and final perseverance.
I thought I was getting a little a preview here of what's coming up. Yes. Go to Catholic.com, click on the radio button there, and then click on Focus, and you will find it, or... even easier, just go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and join Radio Club, and we'll just send it to you. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and join Radio Club. Tim Staples, thank you very much for flying
through. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
It felt like it just zipped by.
It always does.
Don't forget, Tim's going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at St. George's Church on St. George's Street.
Easy weekend. To remember.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.